It looks like a giant version of steel wool that's flat and has a... It's more random. The one that I saw was random. Kind of looked like fiberglass. It's real loose and open area in it on the receiving side.
Okay.
I can send you some information on it. I don't really care which one they use.
From where I'm at, the noise is most evident when the wind is out of the south. If we have a strong north wind, or flat out strong wind, I don't notice where I live hardly any noise. But when it's a gentle breeze out of the southerly direction, that might be a consideration. I mean, you wouldn't want to hang this curtain when the wind's blowing 30 miles per hour out in the north or something like that. And maybe they might want to look into that and see what wind effect would be on the curtain and also control the noise.
Good point.
Well, the other thing is, in my house, I can hear a loud before. I mean, we've lost a lot of vegetation every year, but, you know, I mean, the
One other thing I want to report, Jerry, I am very well aware of the cold iron option. And that's going to be round two. One is the mitigation. I prioritize them in my mind based on noise.
That's very good.
Cold ironing is a proven technology.
And there's another option too.
To the cold ironing?
Ships can control the noise by installing the proper noise abating equipment buffers, like on a car. And I know. My little operation with harbor tugs and so forth, by installing the proper muffling system, a noise abatement system on the vessels to reduce a lot of the noise. And a lot of the ships come in here, they don't make that much engine noise. And others, well, you know it when they're in port. There's a couple of them that they're noisy. I don't know what the dB level is at the exhaust, but it's pretty high. But some that might want to be considered.
Well, you know, I'm thinking, why don't we put this on the agenda when we're talking about the mitigation? We'll go for both at the same time. Okay, moving on. Staff report.
All right, the CECO grant, we've got a couple items on the agenda, so I'm going to skip that. The Miramar traffic study, we put the traffic vehicle profiler out on December 23rd, and I pulled that data on January 6th. And took a preliminary look at that. I have, and the equipment's been reset to continue to collect data. I don't think that while that was the first 2 weeks that we had the equipment, that it is the prime weeks to look at for traffic patterns, since that included Christmas Eve and Christmas and New Year's Day. But it's interesting. As you know, it collects information on every single vehicle that passes that point. It logs the time, the date of the second, whether it's northbound or southbound, the number of axles, and the speed of the vehicle. And classifies that and tells how many cars, motorcycles, cars pulling a trailer, trucks pulling a trailer, the whole nine yards. It's been very interesting. So in that period of 14 days, the maximum speed any vehicle went was in the 40-mile-an-hour range. I don't think that's particularly going to be typical of what we have non-holiday, so we'll continue to collect data. And when I get that, I'm going to share with the council the preliminary information, and anybody else that's interested, I'll make it available to them, of course. But when we get in 30 days of straight data, that report not only will be made available to council, but I'll put that on the website so everyone can see the same information. And that's proving to be very interesting. Met today with the police chief in LaPorte, together with Chief French, and the municipal court judge for LaPorte, who also is one of our associate judges and fills in when Judge Jay's not available, to discuss the negotiation of a jail agreement. We left that meeting with the city of LaPorte preparing an agreement for the mayor to look at and bring back to council. Toured the facilities, talked about some of the administrative issues of the paperwork and training and how we could interface so that we could identify anything that might have been unknowns. But also had the timeline out, the other things that are necessary to make that work, such as we will have to cull from all of our files the arrest warrants and put those in a cabinet of our own at the communication center at the court. So they will then maintain possession. They will not maintain the files, but they'll maintain possession of our arrest warrants and our capeless profile warrants. And so we'll have to work on how we administer that and maintain them on a remote site. All that said, it's all moving in a very positive direction. There hasn't been any changes in terms of projected costs. And I think that it's even possible at the next council meeting, if the mayor is prepared, we can have an agreement for council to look at. I wouldn't mention that the Houston Yacht Club is hosting the U.S. Sailing International Sailing Federation Youth World Qualifier. It's a big deal. We have a lot of people in. We're doing some things to assist there. And look forward to showing Offshore Acres again. And finally, you may recall in, I believe it was October, it was an October council meeting, we had Mr. Volpe, the area engineer for TxDOT here, talking about the Highway 146 construction project. And in their effort not to do some of the things that we might have requested them to do, they suggested that they would reorganize the order of work and do the at-grade road between the two feeder roads at the Chove Road, Shore Acres Boulevard intersection. That is to say, our concern being the left turn for southbound traffic and how narrow that was, that they would put in all four lanes earlier and get that done. And my recollection of that meeting and notes was that he said by the end of January. And so I sent a tickler in December to him about how are we on schedule, because I'm not seeing anything happen there. I didn't say that part, but I did ask him how we were on that schedule. Schedule was in fact delayed by an embankment issue there. However, in his response, I could see in the chain of emails that he rattled the cage of Williams Brothers all the way up to the vice president level. And the vice president told the people in the field here for Williams Brothers that they would start those lanes on January 10th, which I don't think any coincidence, because I had mentioned I had a council meeting I wanted to report on the 10th. So today was their scheduled start day. And we've now been told that while they're not going to have it finished by the end of January, that they will have it finished by the end of February. And so that work is being pushed to the top again, and I think that will be very helpful for us. I guess in my getting used to driving on it, I knew that we were on half the number of lanes that we're sharing going east and west there, and I thought there was some new pavement, but when I went back to a closer look at it, I can see there's no new pavement. We're just on the old pavement, so they've got all new lanes to put in before the end of February. So I wish them good weather. And that's all I got.
Okay, thank you. Item 5.2.3, police report. You have the report in the packet. Are there any questions on the report?
I always like to share with the citizens some of the comparisons of the month. If I can do that real quick, if they don't have a copy.
Sure.
Accidents, November was 7, December was 1. I'm only highlighting the real big difference in the numbers. Animal calls in November was 13, it's down to 5 last month. Arrests, 7 November, 14 in December, so that's double. And then traffic arrests was 7 November and 12 in December. All the other numbers were pretty much.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Staff. That's the one, Mr. Staff.
Oh. Okay. Item 6.1, consideration and approval of invoices.
I make a motion to repay our bill.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. 6.2, discussion of Texas Community Block Grant Project Applications, Projects, and Status. David?
I won't belabor this one much other than to say that we have now crossed the 60% completion on engineering work for the water projects, the wastewater projects, the police station, and the streets. That's of more significance to the engineers than anyone because that is a landmark they have to pass on getting paid. So we're not seeing much activity yet, but they are moving forward. They have got past that milepost so that they can get paid on the 60%. And I'll let it go at that.
Do we need to discuss item 6.3?
6.3 can be withdrawn.
Okay, there's no problem. I don't see any need to discuss that one. 6.4, consideration and action to adopt ordinance 2011-85, changing the name of Forest Avenue to East Forest Avenue and West Forest Avenue. David?
For many years, the city of LaPorte has had Forest Street, spelled with two R's, east of Broadway, about four or five streets north of Shore Acres. And we've had Forest Street spelled with one R that ran from West Country Club all the way to the Bay. That wasn't much of an issue until we contracted with LaPorte for EMS, and then it became a much more significant issue. Now, I understand that a former mayor has got some cold pizza deliveries when it went to the wrong Forest. I won't name anybody. But cold pizza wasn't as significant as perhaps an ambulance wandering around on the wrong street. We do have an overlapping in the 1, 2, and 300 block, and a couple of the addresses are identical street house numbers between Forest Street and Forest Street. And so LaPorte came to us about a year ago with the suggestion that they were going to change theirs to North Forest and ask that we change ours to South Forest. And admittedly, I drug my feet on that, and LaPorte has since changed theirs to North Forest, still with two R's, and we didn't do anything. They came back and revisited with what we could do. They think that that was still not enough of a change for Forest and North Forest, and I revisited that. We had a number of residents who already use on their own, it's not the street's official name, but use West Forest. Because they're on the west end of town. And it made more sense to me that we consider having East Forest and West Forest going east and west of old Highway 146 so that when someone got on Forest Street east and they were looking for west, they could figure out which direction to go to find it as opposed to north and south. And so that's my recommendation, and that's the ordinance that I've brought forward to you tonight. A little help resolve any potential future emergency service responses and do the minimum amount of pain on our residents who will have officially their street name changed. And I would say we will be putting the this new addressing into the Harris County Emergency 911 system, which will then immediately affect that for dispatch. The dispatch codes then for the city will come up properly when we do that. We will change it officially as far as the post office is concerned and the providers. The reality of it is that our residents, if they don't use, elect not use East and West Forest, there's no downside on that. It won't affect their mail service. We have one resident on Forest here at 1009. There is no 1009 Forest in LaPorte. So if Anita were to dig her heels in and say, I'm never going to put West Forest on any of my stuff, it isn't going to affect anything in her world, her driver's license or her mail delivery or anything. So I think this is the minimum impact our residents of adding a suffix. We have a number of streets that they voluntarily, and we, by virtue of use, we've put suffix. We do have East, West, North, and South Country Club. Those are official. We also have people who refer to East and West Bayou, which is not. It's all just Bayou on two sides of Taylor Lake, or Taylor Bayou. So anyhow, that's the recommendation, and that's why it's on the agenda, and the concerns that LaPorte Emergency Services have raised and made it a request from us, and they have already done this in LaPorte for those citizens there.
Are there any questions for council?
I don't think many citizens on Forest are aware of this change. And is it a requirement because of, mainly because the police can't find it, or the fire department can't find a proper address? And then what are we going to do with Seagrove? Are we going to go east and west there?
They live. But it's not a problem.
Let me say something here. We're only doing this because we're requested with by the fire department or EMS in terms of responding to emergencies. And there's a street by the same name in LaPorte as there was here. So we, you know, we don't have an issue with Seagrove. We don't have an issue with the other ones. We want to do this to facilitate the emergency response.
Okay. All right. We made the change to agree with LaPorte. They relabeled theirs North Forest. And I thought that was the end of it. And then, did I miss a couple council meetings when we decided otherwise?
They're still concerned. They being the EMS and police, are still concerned.
They're still concerned.
But they're not concerned about the other street.
And you didn't miss anything. I had hoped that their changing it to North Forest would resolve it, and that would be the end. And a year went by with it like that, and they've raised the issue that they're still equally concerned that there will be a missed EMS call. We have street names that appear in other cities, certainly. But those other cities don't dispatch emergency services for us. And so it is the fact that Shore Acres and LaPorte are both dispatched by the same dispatcher, and there's a duplication of streets and addresses.
Now, I do have one recommendation that if this is adopted, we should inform the residents on those respective streets that they need to be aware of this, particularly if they are requesting emergency services. So they know to give the east and west.
Well, I wonder if we ought to run it by the citizens on Forest first before we enact the ordinance.
Well, you're getting into the tail wagging the dog. The agenda was posted on the website and all per state law. One resident of Forest Avenue chose to attend the council meeting.
I know that. I also know about it. And is there any objection from the citizens out there?
I don't have any objection as long as the street signs are changed to reflect east and west.
Okay.
So the little green signs that mark Forest Avenue.
Yeah. And I don't know what legal implications there are, because I know my deed of trust and all this other, of course, it mentions a plat and all this other business, but it also names an address. So is it going to have any legal implications on your insurance or any other stuff?
Good luck with HCAT. Good luck with HCAT. They did not even go in, according to our zip code, issue a report in the last 4 years on anybody I give my address to. They put in that 77571, it comes up in a port. And the post offices asked us to start using Shore Acres for, I guess, for sorting purposes or whatever. I can tell you personally, I went up to HCAT, and they said absolutely they could not change the port under that 77571 to Shore Acres. HCAT can't do that.
Okay, Anita said she didn't
have
jet.
I'm for it. I'm the street side.
Jill, actually, I've had a number of conversations with neighbors about this. Not recently, since it's been posted for this agenda, but specifically one neighbor at the end of the corner of Forest and Sunrise, and it was very, very important for her at the time because she has a child who is prone to ambulance calls. And they have messed up their directions. No matter how many times she called dispatch, it's the forest and Shore Acres. They were in the quadrant forest report. So, and I have talked over my wife, and we are in consensus that we are in favor of renaming the street, but I do feel that not enough people on Forest are aware of this meeting.
And I'm going to make a motion that we table this for the next meeting, which will be and make sure that the citizens and the people that are actually on the force know this, because they are going to have to redo a lot of things in their lives, and this is not up for seven people to make this decision.
It is, that's why we're elected.
Well, I don't agree with you, Nancy. I think this is a life and death situation. I would much rather risk an inconvenience than someone's life.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2011 Type 85, changing the number 47.
I'll second it.
That's still on the board.
Who seconded? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. Nay.
Nay.
So Jerry and Nancy. Still pass? Jerry and Nancy opposed it.
Yes, don't.
Okay, motion carries. And we will let those people know.
I
think
need
it's
to make
important.
Comment.
Go ahead.
We go through a lot of loops to pass other ordinances. Citizens come up here, file petitions. We don't do anything. We go through all these meetings successively, and maybe it goes 4 to 6 months before anything's done. Well, something like this happens, and it's termed life and death. Well, so are those speed bumps on Miramar, life and death. So that's my comment. I don't want to respond with this next item.
Item 6.5, discussion and action to adopt ordinance 2011-86, authorizing the city administrator execute a memorandum of understanding with Government Deals, Inc. for internet auction services to liquidate surplus city assets.
This is a service that is specific to government entities for liquidating surplus property. It's kind of like a government version of eBay, if you will, with all the bells and whistles. A number of cities and counties and authorities in Texas are using it. I know that the Port of Houston Authority uses it in Galveston County and others in this area as well as elsewhere in Texas. And they've all reported having good service from it. It's a flat fee, 7.5% seller's fee, which is less than what historically we've had when we've used an auction service. We would have the ability to list it on this and then use this as a place for people to make their bids, so that we would put it in any publishing that we did on the website when we have something available. They would still pay the money here. There are a number of options here, one of which they collect the money. If they collect the money, they collect a larger fee, and there's no reason to do that. Anyone who picks the items up have to pick it up here. There's no shipping. The inspection's done here. We just collect the money here and pay our 7.5% fee. We wouldn't be obligated to use it. It gives us another thing, another avenue. And we do have property that we need to surplus this year. I'd like to have this as an option to do that. There's really no minimum item. It's interesting. Some cities are down to using this to liquidate individual cell phones that are surplused out at $5 a piece. So I don't think that we would be doing that, but we do have things that we'd like to get rid of and not just have to throw away, because the cost of doing it in other fashions is more than it's worth.
I think it's a great idea. I just really looked on this.
Is there any questions? there a motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 6.6, discussion and action to adopt ordinance 2011-87 authorizing the city administrator to enter into a contract with Home Depot for the purchase and installation of 9 replacement City Hall windows.
This is under our energy efficiency grant, which we have $19,000 made available to us. It's the only stimulus funds I'm aware of that are getting spent in this area, and we're participating in. In advance of the meeting, when I sent the agenda out, I sent you a copy of the two quotes that I'm recommending, but in the packet that you have before you tonight are all of the other quotes so that you can see what all was in there. Our grant originally, I put that in the package for you as well. If you go back to the third page, the amount that the city had available was $23,030. When we made our application, that's how much we had requested. The next page is a letter from me to Jacobs Engineering, who's administering that for the state, who is administering it for the federal government. We did a grant revision when we switched from the solar street lighting, when they would not do the grant for the poles to the air conditioning, heating, and windows. And in that request for a grant revision, I had put in budget amounts, estimated costs, which came to $19,903 for the heating, air conditioning, ventilation, and for the ducts and for the windows. To my surprise, the next page, when we got back our signed grant, attachment G, what they did in the grant is they adjusted our award down to the $19,903. So, sadly, we left some money on the table. And so that's what we have to work with, including tonight, is the $19,903. As I read through the grant award, which is long, and I saved you the tree of printing all that out for you to see here, it does appear that, however, while they've reduced it to the $19,903, it's still a lump sum, and so we can move between the three categories of being the HVAC, the ductwork, and the windows. That being the case, if you flip back to the very front, I have two different scenarios there. One is the windows, showing the grant amount and the quote that we've received. We had 3 competitive quotes, and the over and under amount, as well as the HVAC and the ductwork. Those are the ones that we have that are the low bids, qualifying bids, and that come in at the grant amount. We come in under the $19,903 by $670. That's for a 14-SEER unit by week service. The second set of numbers there is if we moved up to the 18-SEER, higher efficiency unit, it will exceed what the grant is, and I just put this on there for your consideration without a recommendation. But if the council is interested in investing $3,847 in the replacement of the units, in addition to the windows, it would fall short of what the grant has available, and we would have to add that money, but we would get a higher efficiency unit. What the grant isn't going to pay is our electric and heating bill for years into the future. And with either one, we should see substantial savings, particularly on air conditioning costs. We have single pane, single weight, builder grade windows upstairs, and they let lots of heat come in during the summer and lots of cold come in during the winter. And that alone will save us a lot of money. So it's a decision we have. $4,500, no, we have $7,500, $7,500 in building maintenance. And one of the big items that building maintenance for City Hall building maintenance is the failure of an air conditioning unit. At the time we put that in, that was always a factor. Now we find ourselves with a brand new air conditioning and heating unit downstairs as a result of the work we performed last year, and with the grant, a new unit upstairs. And I don't think it would put us in any particular risk on the maintenance of this building to use half of the building maintenance if you did want to upgrade the air conditioning unit. I also would say, while I'm recommending weeks, that's based on the materials used and the responsiveness of the quote. The other quotes that we have in there are from Barrett's that weren't included in the estimate. And I thought that when I put a pencil to it, that we're coming up in the same ballpark of numbers, and I was more impressed with the equipment that Weeks was offering. But you wouldn't hurt my feelings to go either way. Yeah, I am in terms of discussion, and we'd have to do them as two separate items. And the reason is that the cost impacts one to the other. If we do the windows with Home Depot, that's a turnkey price, doesn't include painting. None of them include painting on the windows. And we would have money to give back to go towards air conditioning. If you selected one of the other vendors on the windows, it would be more money. And then there'd be less money to do the air conditioning.
Well, let me tell you,
Dana and Jerry. Yes, Anita.
Does Shore Acres qualify for any kind of an energy rebate?
We would accept that the federal government's paying for all these windows, and they want a rebate on what they're paying.
Okay.
Can you take this windstorm insurance?
Pardon? No, we do not have Texas Windstorm. We have windstorm coverage to Texas Municipal League, and our roof was put on to Texas Windstorm. And that's a good point while we're still on windows and haven't voted yet, I guess, is that there's two classifications of windows. There's windstorm and there's impact resistant. All of our windows have to meet windstorm for the inland zone that we're in. If we have impact windows, we don't have to have shutters. I elected to get all the quotes for us not having impact because we have shutters, and it keeps the cost down and leaves more money for the air conditioning units. So just full disclosure on that, they're not impact windows.
We have a motion. Dana, second. Jerry?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Which brings us to 6.7, discussion and action to adopt ordinance 2011-88, authorizing the city administrator enter a contract relief service company for the purchase and installation of replacement heating and air conditioning system for City Hall. And this will require us to decide which tier level that we want to pursue. Any other comments?
Just a question.
I'm a 14 year old.
You're a 14.
People are still really struggling right now financially, and this will eventually make its way back to people who are expecting. And yes, I mean, we'll end up paying it because it's completely cost. But right now, I don't think it's going to sit there and tell people, hey, we're going to put that standard. And what exactly between 14 and 18 years, are we actually getting double? Like, are we getting 50% more efficiency and energy savings?
I would not even hazard a guess on that. I did make an inquiry as to the difference between 14 and 15 because those were in the mix, and those were pretty much on a par.
It's about 10% of each grade up. I just replaced the HVAC system, two dual 5-ton units for the union hall, and also in my own home. It's about 10% each grade up. The Mid-Texas minimum is 13th year, 14th year is a little bit better than the minimum that you can legally get, but not by much. The difference between 14 and 18 is significant.
And 14 is strictly for upstairs.
Yes.
Yeah, we're only doing this, yeah, right? Really, we're only doing upstairs.
What the brand are we getting? Is it Crane or what is it?
Yeah,
is it 18 here? So it's a 40%.
If it's stainless steel, it's almost certainly Crane because almost everybody else uses copper.
Yeah, it is a Crane.
Crane, okay.
So it's a 40% difference.
And I guess the warranty. Are we going to try to get the extended warranty?
Well, it has 10 years parts and labor and lifetime on the compressor and the heat exchanger, which was
on the compressor, right?
Right, which was superior to the other equipment, which was a Rude.
That's what I got for the union hall as a trend.
But all of the I guess my question now, are we going to try to get the 10-year on the whole site?
This pricing could take.
The difference is probably another $1,000.
No, that's the manufacturing.
This price includes the 10 years parts and labor.
On the compressor?
Yes, sir.
But not on the rest of the equipment.
We can
negotiate that later. But what I'm saying is I just went through all this, and if you want 10 years on every piece of equipment that's associated with that air conditioning and furnace, I guess, is there a furnace involved?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. If you want 10 years on everything, you have to pay additional for the warranty, and it costs about another $1,000. But you're right on the primary parts, which is the compressor, two compressors. So we can deal with that later. You'll always get the extended warranty, or comprehensive warranty later.
I may be mistaken, but my understanding in what they quoted here was that it's lifetime on the compressor, lifetime on the heat exchanger, and it was 10 years parts and labor on everything else.
Oh, that's what we got in there.
Yeah, that's what we got for the union hall.
Yeah.
I literally got that in December for the union hall.
And that's on the 14 and the 18.
Right, that's correct.
So, Dana, say again, what's the difference on the energy efficiency between the 14 and the 18?
It's about 10% each step up. It works out, between a 13 and a 14, there's not a significant amount of difference, but it's kind of a
logarithmic curve.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I even majored in math, I think. But it just moves upwards. It's disproportionate as you go up in efficiency rate. 18 SEER is very, very good. 21 is the best you can get, but the capital cost between 18 and 21 is very significant, whereas the capital cost between a 14 and a 15 and an 18 is minor compared to what you can do about yourself.
And if we go to the 18, it's going to cost us about a little under $4,000. So I guess the question is, how long would it take us to make that $3,800 back in electrical costs or in heating costs,
and
gas and heating?
Yeah, certainly you're going to make it up with the length of time you're going to have to use it. In the union hall, that's dealing with a larger scale building, a 5,000 square foot building. I figured out it's about a 4-year break even. And I expected to have the unit for 15 to 20 years, so it was worth it because our HVAC cost, it was our highest cost of maintaining the hall. This is going to be a more energy efficient building,
Mm-hmm. So you should have a longer time of break even. But it also depends on how much energy costs. As energy costs go up every year, you know, I was doing my break even that the cost of energy was going to be the same every single year because, quite frankly, I didn't want to get into the math of it. But as energy costs go up every year, it becomes more and more advantageous to be more cost efficient, which is why I go for the energy efficient now, because even if you say in 10 years we'll replace it at a higher efficiency unit, the units are a lot more expensive 10 years from now than they are now.
We don't have a 14 and we're moving to an 18 and we don't have the windows. And since we're doing this all at one time where we're changing the windows and we're changing the air conditioning unit, our current budget has built in covering the electric of what we have now. And I would estimate that the vast difference between the windows and the air conditioning unit, that we're going to recapture $4,000 in a year. I think we can capture that within a year. Our electric here is high, and I'd say 50% of it is our air conditioning cost on this building.
Well, I would think that since we have this system for probably a long time, we should go with the 18. I think we will get that.
I just want to know where the 16 is.
Train doesn't make a 16. You'd have to go to right. It's in here. 15. Yeah, the 15 is what Rude makes. They don't make a 16 either.
My only suggestion, when you get the paperwork, put it more.
Sure, absolutely.
And also, install the ductwork, make sure it is the proper size ductwork. Otherwise, you will not get the 18 SEER.
Right.
You get maybe a 13 SEER if they don't put in the right size ductwork.
Right, and that's why we have the $2,195 in there for the ductwork change.
Yep. I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the 2011 Tax 88 authorizing contract.
We need to specify which year.
I vote for 18.
Oh, you say 18? Okay. All righty. Jerry, you second?
18, yes,
sir. All in favor? Any opposed?
Nay.
Nancy is opposed. Motion carries.
A lot of visitors in the middle of summer now. It's really hot outside. I'm coming here to pull out.
Yeah.
Hang out.
Okay, meeting is adjourned at 8:46 p.m.